How good's that? That was on a, that was on like, back then it was a 20-cent investment. It started at 20 cents. Now we're at 10. But they when they got taken out, they're doing exceptionally well. So the risk reward, that the thing of 10 baggers is really real. You bet a little in these things to win a lot.
Good day. We have Frank Callahan with Golden Caribou. How are you doing, Frank?
Really well, thanks. Thanks for asking. How about you?
I can't complain. Busy, but good stuff happening in our world, huh?
It sure is. It's not a real junior market world yet, but it's sort of lending itself that way. When people start phoning saying, "Do you know any good gold stocks we should be interested in?" They're looking for producers and stuff now. The junior market's yet to come, but it's early in our game. But the wherewithal of people paying more attention to minerals and what countries have and that sort of stuff is opening up the world to just to know more about mining and exploration. And it's a slow start, but it's a start nonetheless.
Yeah, Frank, tell us a little bit about your background and your involvement with Golden Caribou, and just tell us about what you guys got going on there.
I got involved in exploration way back when I was 16 years old, working in the exploration and mining camps up in northern Manitoba, and then came west and stuck with the bug. And in my career, we've gotten lucky. I've put two gold mines into production. One, the last one was well, actually the whole thing was purchased for some $328 million. We started with about a $10 million market cap, much more like with what we have now. And we got lucky and found a mine and bought one out of receivership as well, and went through the whole permitting process and poured gold bars. There's no thrill like watching crushed up rock go into a conveyor belt and come out and puke out a gold bar 48 hours later. It's a pretty cool thing.
Man. What about your Golden Caribou, the jurisdiction? If you can tell us about where you guys are located, how friendly of a jurisdiction it is, what you guys are finding, and what you guys got going on.
Sure. So we're in dead center British Columbia. It's an area of an awful lot of mining. Right alongside of us is the Blackwater deposit. It's got a $1 billion market cap. It's a 12 million ounce deposit. It's going to be, the grade's about 0.65 of a gram. They're going to be doing 22,500 tons a day. All around us, there's a bunch of mines. The one we just sold is just light of 6 million ounces. It's actually started up sort of now. We poured the first bar, but they're doing we've gone from a bulk sample it's a full on doing, I think it's 200,000 ounces a year to start for the first couple of years. There's a number of other mines that are in the neighborhood. So we're in a mining jurisdiction. The stat that I had that when we made the last discovery, they think they found another one, and it's just finding rocks in a different rock formation that hadn't been recognized as being gold bearing before. That's what makes these things significant discoveries. So this is pretty much like that. It's on a greenstone contact. All of the largest mines in the world are on a greenstone contact. So we were told that the rocks are similar to what we see between Val d'Or, Quebec, and Timmins, Ontario. It's about a 300 million ounce producing belt, and we're in similar rocks. They're younger, but they're similar in nature. So we're feeling really confident. Made a discovery last year. The girls get all the credit for it. They found it, and it's shaping up into something very significant.
Can you tell us what you're digging up there?
So yeah, so
Right.
this it looks like it's going to be open pit. It's lending itself in that kind of grade and that kind of environment. It's a kilometer and a half long. So what is it, 1700? It's just under a mile, in strike length so far. And it's probably 20, it's like 1,000 feet wide and probably three, four, yeah, and almost a mile long so far that we know is mineralized that we've been drilling. We step out every 300 feet and drill another hole. And we've since the discovery hole, and we just keep moving out, and every hole has been very successful at very large widths. I know them in meters, so like 1,000 foot wide intercepts, 340 odd meter intercepts, very, very significant intercepts, all ore grade. And then on top of that, we staked, because when we made the discovery, we staked another 250,000 acres on the other side of this Pluton, which is an intrusive. So it's the same rocks again. So we're really excited about it. So it's really a junior. It's got lots of room to grow. It's really cheap. But, you know, they all start somewhere. So it's fun. It's a fun project.
So a lot of these juniors are, you know, the notion that people have of these juniors is that there's high risk, high reward. Can you tell us a little bit about the potential, the upside we're looking at here based off your findings, based off what's around you? And can you tell us about what are the risks here for investors? And is there any way you can help us get around that?
So, you know what? That's a great question. And you know what? No one's asked that question before. So on the last project that got, my last company got bought out for $328 million. We started out, it probably had, I don't know, about a $10 million market cap. We got taken out for $328 million. The shareholders received a portion of a share of a Cisco royalties at $13 a share. That stock, I think this morning, is trading at $33 a share. On top of that, since they were bought, they've been getting 20 cents a quarter, and, you know, on a proportionate share of what they had, that the dividend is about 20 cents a quarter is what they're yielding. So the win for those shareholders is it just keeps coming in every quarter. Plus, yeah, the stock appreciated. The stock's almost, well, it's not tripled, but it's gone up quite a bit, almost tripled. And on top of that, they're getting a dividend every quarter. How good's that? You know, that was on like, you know, back then it was a 20 cent investment. You know, it started at 20 cents. Now we're 10. But you know, when they got taken out, they're doing exceptionally well. So the risk reward, that the thing of 10 baggers is really real. You bet a little in these things to win a lot. Yeah. And to watch a stock go from a market cap, as an example, this one today in US dollars is about 5 million US. When you think the last one got taken out in US dollars, it would be, you know, more than 200 million. So the value of this stock, in my view today, and this is a forward-looking statement, is, you know, it should be probably $30 million market cap, or somewhere in that range is what it should really be, right? So when you look at it at five, you know, so there's an opportunity for, you know, a 5 or 6, 7 bagger, you know, just there, you know, based on what we're doing. We're just developing ounces now. So how big is this going to be? So the market wants us to see us drill a couple more holes and show us it's really real. So that's what we're focused on now. They started drilling casing on hole 22 this morning. That will be 2 shifts a day. They're putting in drill 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're doing this new photon assaying. So we've got some results expecting, not this coming Tuesday. We put out news every Tuesday. So, but not this week, but probably the following week. And I'm expecting some really good results from it. So we'll sort of see how that pans out.
Can you tell us a little bit about the plan for next quarter, for the next 6 months, for the rest of the year? And do you have any news that you can share with us now?
Sure. So the idea is you got to keep stepping out on these things to make them larger. Like, you've made a discovery. Wonderful. How big is it? So it's all important in how large this thing is. So we have no idea. We do know that that over an area of 7 kilometers, that's like about 3 miles or something. It's got to be somewhere around there. That we know that in geophysics, it extends that length. So it looks like there's several parallel trends to it. Of that, probably about a mile of it isn't on our property. It actually extends onto the company that bought our last project. When they realized what we were doing here, they went and staked all the ground around us on 3 sides. So there, and even the CEO of that company's come up and said, you know, Frank, we think you got some going here. So I bought stock. My daughter's bought your stock. Our geologists buy your stock. So, you know, just stick with it. It looks like you're really onto something. So it's really nice hearing from those fellas. You know, they're a natural buyer. We want to sell it to them. And there's no desire to put this into production. This one we're developing and we're selling it. So we've got the buyers right there right now. They're really good at raising money. They spent almost $1 billion since they took out our last company. All in, they're into it for about $1 billion. And it's going to start doing, it'll start on, based on the numbers that they put out, it'll do upwards of a 38% IRR. So they're expecting to doing in excess of gross revenue, excess of $1 billion a year in gross revenue right now. So it's very significant. When you find these things, we're in elephant country, and we're looking for elephants. And like all of the deposits around us, there's nothing less than several million ounces. And so, you know, we're in good company, and there's a, you know, huge risk reward here. And this is where you make money. You bet a little, win a lot on these things.
Could you tell us a little bit about equity ownership? You mentioned also some companies around you guys. What are their findings? And in terms of ownership, how much percent is owned by insiders, institutions? Who are your top shareholders, if you can share that?
Sure. So there's 70 million shares issued. The insiders have about a little bit more than 10%. Our significant shareholders, Kinross, the founder of Kinross, his name is Bob Buck, and he's a very significant shareholder in the company. When I purchased his previous mine, they called the QR mine. It was Kinross's very first producer that they ever put into production in 1992. They mothballed it in 2000, meaning that they just put on care and maintenance with low metal prices. Gold was below $400 an ounce. And then another company came and bought it. And they tried to make go of it, and they couldn't do that. It went in receivership. I bought it out of receivership and put it back into production as an underground mine. And that's still sort of running sporadically. They're taking stuff from the discovery that we made and processing it at that facility. And they're going to continue to do so. So there's the QR that's there. We've had it. So Bob's a significant shareholder. There's some other fellows that have taken large positions, and they don't want to be name dropped. But there are near 10 people that probably have greater than a million share positions each. They're in it for the 10 bagger. And there's some that have taken even larger positions than that, that are really see that this is, you know, based on the results that we've been getting so far, because the results have been astronomical. I mean, they really have. The discovery is very real. The intercepts are just amazing. I mean, they're 300, 400, 1,000 foot intercepts here. They have continuous gold. It's amazing. They're amazing intercepts. So it's really early in the game, and we're just keep going at it is what we try to do.
Who else is around you guys?
So there's the Blackwater deposit. It is a 12 million ounce deposit. There's a Spanish Mountain is a 5 million ounce deposit. There's the Barkerville deposit, which we sold. It's just light of 6 million ounce deposit. There's the Kinross. It's a couple of million ounce deposit. There's a couple of other copper mines. There are lots of mines. Those are all in production that are in production. The ones that I've just mentioned. Actually, Spanish Mountain is not. Spanish Mountain is not. But they're gearing up for production. It's north of a 6 million ounce deposit. I even was reading something was 8 million ounce the other day. And so they're big. We're the same grade. We're a lookalike to Spanish Mountain. Same rocks. Exactly the same rocks as what you see at Spanish Mountains. We don't have the graphite issue, but
you don't have the graphite issue. What do you have?
The graphite's a preg robber, so they've got graphite, and we don't see that, which is really a blessing. So we're quite pleased about it.
Now, are you guys in the raising capital stage, or is it?
We are. You know, the thing is I compared to the old Pac-Man game for those of us that remember that, but these things just gobble money. I mean, they don't make money; they spend money, and you are always if you're a junior exploration company, you're always raising money. So the company's announcing that they'll be doing a financing. It's not on the public wire yet, so I can't mention that. But after this, it's going out like in the next few hours. The company's doing a raise. It's really a great raise. We try to make it so that there's always a warrant attached to them, and there's a warrant attached to them, and that the warrants are almost in the money, because we You know, what happens in most, when some CEOs, and I was guilty of it in a previous life, is that you do these financings and you put the share at a certain price and then you make the warrant where it's never in the money. And so the shareholder never gets the share. They're choked. The company doesn't get the money and it's a free financing. It's a free fine, and they don't get the money. So everybody loses. So I try to make it so that the warrants are almost in the money day one, because you want the share. I want the money. And we need the money in order to keep drilling. And this project is 4 kilometers. What's that? 3 miles off of the highway. We're in the little town. It's got 2 gas stations, 1 bar, a couple of motels. We just rent the motel. The fellas drive half a mile down to the camp and then they cross the highway to the drill. It's like a made in heaven. It's fantastic.
So can you tell us a bit about the infrastructure that's there, the roads, the water?
Sure. So like we're in between 2 airports. One's an international airport, one in Quesnel, one in Prince George International. We are about 30 miles to each one of them, either north or south. The infrastructure in the town of Hixson is, as I mentioned, it's got 1 grocery store, 2 gas stations, 2 motels. We rent all of the rooms in 1 motel. And a volunteer fire hall. That's about it.
Hotel Golden Caribou.
It will be. Now they call it the Paradise Motel.
I love it. Frank, people are interested in investing in not only projects, but people with track records, people who know what they're doing, people who know how to raise capital, who've got experience. Could you tell us about your team and what each person or what you have on your team?
Sure. So we've got there's Jean Peller, who just won an award for her gold discoveries that she's made. Jean and I have worked together since she left Teck Corporation in the year 2000. There's Dr. Sarah Palmer. There's Julia, and I got a couple over from Germany that specialize in this type of work. Dr. Sarah Palmer, who looks after all of the structural geology, Jean Angelique Justison, she's been with me for literally 25 years. The team, the drillers have been with me for 30 years. The geologists, 3 of them have been with me for 25 years or more. That part of the team, that core of the team, we've actually put 2 mines into production. We found one of them. We bought another one out of receivership. But we have put 2 gold mines into production and sold one for $328 million. Like the company was bought for $328 million.
And you're
2018.
Okay.
Yeah. I retired. It was being bought. I retired. And the girl is going.
Nice, Frank. Way to rub it in.
Pardon me? Say again?
Way to rub it in.
Yeah. No. Well, I did. And then they're going, we think we found another one. We want you to come back to work. So it's fun. I mean, when you surround yourself, and you are who you surround yourself with. These people that do the work, the ones in the field that not only the drillers, but they're most important, but the geology team that goes and finds this and figures it out. Because you're dowsing with a drill. I mean, facts, you're dowsing with a drill. It's something that's 2 inches in diameter and you're down looking for a mine, a gold. Talk about a needle in a haystack. It's a challenge. They haven't, touch wood. They haven't missed on a drill hole yet. I mean, they've drilled 21 drill holes. Every single one of them's been a hit. And big hits.
21 big hits out of 21 drills.
Correct. After 21 out of 21 holes.
21 holes, 21 out of 21.
Yeah.
Some pretty good math there.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's exciting.
We sort of say that, it was hole 4 that we recognized that we were on to something. The first 3 holes, there's stuff in it, but you did, and now you recognize what it is. But in the beginning, you didn't. It was when they gave me the results of hole 4, I'm going, okay, I really think you found something. And then it was
hole 4.
It was, I think it was about 40, so it was like a little bit more than 100 feet of a gram and a half, thereabouts, something like that. And I'm going, okay, you've really found something here. This is significant. Yeah. So They get all the credit.
Frank, I love how you're giving credit to your team. Been there several times here already. Do you have any news you want to share with us for the next, for our listeners? Anything you can share?
Yeah, I think this photon assaying that we're trying, it's new. And so instead of doing fire assay, which is sort of the standard, this new photon assay kind of, and the difference is, instead of doing a 5 gram sample, and everybody can imagine what 5 grams looks like, it's a couple of tablespoons, as opposed to doing a 500 gram sample. And so you're getting, because it, when the old timers recognize that they found this, like, so that you got a picture that, you know, they come from the California gold rush, they walk up to British Columbia, and they literally walked up to British Columbia, and then they followed the Fraser River up, and it's the tributaries of the Fraser that is where the gold has come from, and it spills the Fraser River. So they're panning at Fraser, they keep following it up. And it's when they see it in the creeks, when this creek in particular, and there's 101 creeks have historic gold production on in this belt over 60 miles long, over 60 miles long, 101 creeks have recorded gold production from the government gold production. This one here in particular, when the glaciers came through and they filled this whole valley with rock. So it's got anywhere from, say, 30 feet to 100 feet thick of rock on top of a mountaintop. So when you're driving and you see all these trees and everything that are all growing, you don't realize that you're driving on top of gravel, that the mountaintop is underneath you because the glaciers just filled in the valley. So the old timers, when they came in the 1860s, they sunk a shaft and they went down 300 feet because the quartz veins, when they're walking in the creek in August and the water's only like 6 inches deep, you can see all the veins in the creek. And they can see the gold, and you can see that it's native gold. You actually see flakes of gold. If you go on the company's website, there's pictures of some of the core with some flakes of gold in it. So you actually can see it. So they're going, okay, that's the source of it. You got to understand, these are placer miners. So they're going, that's the source. So they sink a shaft. And when they sink a shaft, they go down, and then they go out to the vein. So every 100 feet or so, they go out to the vein and they would mine and bring that up to the top, pound it and take the flakes of gold out of it. They just run a mill and take the flakes of gold out of it. So what happened was, is in the 1970s, the government of British Columbia took it upon themselves that all the old mines in the province where all these shafts are open and they've got no reclamation money from the old timers that work these things and stuff, the government took it upon themselves with taxpayer dollars. They're going to go and bulldoze all these old buildings flat and plant trees. So this is those areas where they did that. So when after our discovery was made and we got bought out, one of the gals, Angelique, is walking around this ground and she's looking at the rocks and she's going, where did this come from? Not realizing that, and how she got the information is she went to a museum, and in the museum, they're showing how all the old mine was in the 1860s on the linens and stuff that they had. So she got permission from the curator to take it and photocopy, and she starts putting the whole thing together, realizing they'd sunk a shaft, because when you're walking around and you're looking at the gravel, you don't know that that gravel's come from 10 miles away or 50 miles away that the glaciers deposited there. The stuff that when they sunk the shaft and they brought all the rock up to the top and the bulldozers then went and leveled it all and planted trees, all that stuff from down below from 300 feet is all up on surface. So she's walking around looking at it. That's the same rocks when we made the discovery. Those, we're looking for this rock. So that's how it came. It's a fluke. How it came about is just an absolute fluke.
Crazy.
It is. They get all the credit. They.
Well, Frank, is there any, if people have any questions or want to continue learning about the story, is there a website? Is there an email that you can share, and can you also share your tickers and where you're traded?
Sure. So we trade on the Canadian Stock Exchange. The ticker symbol is GCC. And I can be phoned at 604-551-7685. I take everybody's phone call, 604-551-7685. Our email address is just email me, JFG. That's JFG Callahan, my surname, Callaghan at gmail.com. And we do have a company website. I encourage you to go and have a look. It's goldencaribou.com, I believe is what it is. Golden Caribou, something like that.
Goldencaribou.com. We'll put it in the link, but it's with two O's at the end.
Yes, it is. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, spelling. Yeah.
Not everybody was a good speller back in the 18th century.
You can't get everything right.
Yeah, everything right.
So, hey, Frank, enjoy talking to you. Hope to do this again. And look forward to continuing to follow your story.
Thanks for taking the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Bye-bye.